It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Welcome to another week of the Global Alert News Hour. And though I know that many or most don't want to hear bad news, I'll continue to do all I can to bring it to light. The kind of news that makes clear there are challenges we must face if we wish to have any chance of surviving much longer on our rapidly dying planet. The veil that has so far separated reality from programmed illusion, bias, and ideology for so many is finally beginning to break down. Not because the majority has suddenly decided to face the full truth out of a sense of responsibility to the greater good, but because rapidly converging catastrophes are forcing many to turn their gaze toward the wider horizon. In this broadcast, I will report on verifiable data. Whether or not that data is investigated is not in my control. Pressing on, let's start with exposing a few lies before moving on later in this broadcast to some of the most dire frontline breaking headlines on which all of our futures depend. Here's a big lie. Now, being exposed to some degree from MarketWatch.com and numerous other sources, U.S. created 500,000, half a million, in other words, fewer jobs since 2018 than previously reported, new figures show. Report states, turns out hiring wasn't nearly as strong in 2018 and early 2019 as the government initially reported, what a surprise, by about a half a million jobs. For the record, the unemployment figures are and always have been completely fabricated. Moving on with more headlines that most don't see and most don't want to face. Recession imminent as RV industry crashes. In that report, the RV industry continues to flash a recessionary warning light. It has been used by analysts and economists as a leading indicator of consumer demand for luxury items. Domestic shipments of RVs to dealers have plummeted this year. And for the record also, this is not a recession. It's not a bump in the road. It is the end of the road that we have known. The reality we have known is done. And I don't care who rolls their eyes and walks away. That will become ever more apparent as the weeks and months go on and the totality of biosphere implosion becomes apparent. Trying to bring that to light sooner. The sooner we can wake the population up to this, the sooner they can help us to expose certain issues, starting with the climate engineering insanity in our skies and going on to other issues. The sooner we can exposes. We can beat the power structure to the intersection. We have a chance of changing the equation, but that depends on what we all do or don't do. A few more headlines to consider. Pentagon tests first land-based cruise missile in a post-INF treaty world. For the record, again, the U.S. is the only one that pulled out of the INF non-proliferation treaty. Not Russia, not China. Both countries repeatedly invited full inspections to confirm they were conforming to the Weapons Reduction Treaty, a fact which has been ignored by the U.S. government, the UN, and the U.S. corporate media. Moving on with more reality, more headlines. Trade war woes are further slowing U.S. economy, U.S. budget experts say. It's not just trade war woes, it's a collapsing biosphere that's also slowing the entire global economy. Another headline, auto bust at the heart of global downturn hits oil demand. Another headline, John Deere tractor to slash costs after trade war hits its earnings. Another headline, the president's farm bailout funds flow to, quote, city slickers, a D.C. lobbyist, and, quote, farms on golf courses. From that report, about 9,000, quote, city slickers, report states, living in luxurious neighborhoods of the nation's largest cities received a farm bailout from the Trump administration to minimize the impact of the trade war with China. An updated environmental working group, EWG, analysis of Department of Agriculture data shows. Interesting where that money's going, isn't it? Another headline. The bloodbath in America's trucking industry has officially spilled over to the rest of the economy. Another headline. Housing peaked in May of 2018. Cycle trends suggest the long, weak recovery is over. Another headline. Climate change to slow global economic growth, new study finds. I've stated again in countless broadcasts, the biosphere, the environment is the bottom line. As the biosphere crashes, the economy must follow. And it's not just climate change. It's climate engineering, which affects climate change, but it also affects every breath we take, contaminating the entire planet, destroying the ozone layer. Single most environmentally destructive factor on the planet today, and single greatest threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm, is the global climate engineering assault. And that is not to negate or downplay all other forms of anthropogenic damage to the planet. I hope people listen to what I'm saying and don't accuse me of forgetting about all the other forms of anthropogenic damage. I lectured on climate change before I focused all on climate engineering because it was the superseding issue, and because there can be no legitimate discussion about climate change without first and foremost discussing the climate engineering, aka weather warfare assault. Another headline, GE, General Electric, on the verge of insolvency, claims whistleblower report. Another headline, World Bank says water pollution weighs on global economic growth. Of course it does. How can you grow perpetually on a finite planet with finite resources when you pollute the entire planet, killing the entire web of life, which is what's happening now, and expect to have, quote, economic growth? We live in a world of total insanity. This whole paradigm is completely insane, and that will become ever more evident as the weeks and months go by. In regard to the weaker growth, not to worry. Corporate CEOs are doing fine. Consider this new headline. CEOs see pay grow 1,000% in the last 40 years. They now make 278 times the average worker. That seems fair, doesn't it? Not really. And there's this new headline that highlights the insanity of some in the human race. Bugatti, the car maker Bugatti, is making $9 million supercars, probably for those CEOs, on a planet that's dying. Another headline of insanity. $9 million cars while the world implodes around us. Moving on, another headline. Slowdown hits key Singapore sectors, battening down the hatches amid turbulence. Another headline. As the NSA declares phone record program dead, the Trump administration asks for a permanent reauthorization. Question, why would anyone believe the NSA in the first place? The job of intelligence agencies the world over is to lie. And why would the president ask for a permanent phone and record program to monitor U.S. citizens? Something to consider. Two more headlines. Believing Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide is the real conspiracy theory. And this, Global Network's nuclear sensors in Russia went offline after mystery blast. Not unlike the radiation sensors in the U.S. that were taken offline after the Fukushima blast. All so-called governments that are simply state-sponsored terrorism, including our own, are responsible for doing everything they can, not to expose dangers to the public, but to hide those dangers. Climate engineering, stunning example of that statement. Again, biosphere collapse is the bottom line and continues to unfold. Economic and social collapse will follow. Both are also already unfolding. To those that are already awake and aware and doing their best to effectively and efficiently sound the alarm, I wish, as always, to express my most sincere gratitude. Thank you for your courage and for your commitment to the greater good. We march together in this all-important battle. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 211, August 24th, 2019. News most, as I stated, do not want to hear, but that we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM, Sunday mornings, same time slot. Also broadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, 2 PM Wednesdays. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. The latest Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. And keep in mind, passing on credible, compelling printed materials is exponentially more effective at waking others than any form of verbal dissertation. We try to pass these materials on for what it costs us to produce and ship. We're simply trying to get them into circulation. Another way to help us sound the alarm is to attend the Gem Fair events, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. Gem Fair has been and continues to be an extremely dedicated ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. Visit the geoengineeringwatch.org informational booths at Gem Fair events. Get free geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials and help us in the critical effort to wake the masses. Again, visit the Gem Fair home site, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E, and find out where upcoming events will be. On that note, coming up September 6th through the 8th at the Anderson Fairgrounds, the Shasta County Fairgrounds in Anderson, California, Gem Fair for the first time will be there. Come, show your support. Booth will be there all 3 days. On Saturday, September 7th, starting at 1 p.m., there will be a free screening of the documentary film, Hacking the Planet, specifically about climate engineering, a documentary produced by geoengineeringwatch.org. I will be there for that screening, and I will engage in a Q&A afterward for as long as it takes. I'll stay there till the closing of that event, if necessary, till 6 p.m. I want to answer any and all questions, and I want to make clear the severity and the immediacy of what we face. I will fill in any blank on this issue. If you're skeptical, if you have any questions about this really going on, please come have those questions answered, and we will give you data you need to honestly understand this issue and its ramifications for us all. Moving on to headlines, there's too many to cover this week, as has been the case with previous weeks, as the unraveling occurs from so many different directions that one can't possibly elaborate on all of it. But as this unraveling continues and picks up momentum, there are still many in the environmentalist communities and with environmental agencies that would like to believe that so-called renewable energy, a renewable energy boom, will save the economy and the world, as Mr. Bernie Sanders would have us try to believe, and it's simply not true. If Mr. Sanders wants to tell the truth, he should start with telling the world about climate engineering. Again, not that we don't face countless other challenges or countless other forms of damage to the planet, but climate engineering is the largest and most destructive human activity of all, and the one that's not being addressed, not by anybody, including Mr. Sanders. About renewable energy, it's not really renewable. How much fossil fuel does it take to build a 450-foot-high wind turbine? Am I trying to marginalize renewable energy? Is it better than, quote-unquote, hydrocarbon fuels? Yes, it is, and I am on renewable energy, wind, solar, and hydro. I've been completely off-grid for 17 years. So I think I have some ground to stand on when I speak to this issue. But again, renewable energy is a fossil fuel or hydrocarbon extender. It is not quote-unquote renewable. It takes a tremendous amount of hydrocarbon fuels to make quote-unquote renewable energy. Some of the chemicals used in quote-unquote renewable energy are incredibly destructive to the environment. Some of the gases produced in solar panel production are thousands of times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. We need to understand the whole picture. Let's listen to this headline that adds further weight to this equation. Quote, global warming will hit solar panel performance. The hotter it gets, the more intense the UV is, the less effective solar panels are, period. Hot circuits do not conduct electricity well. And again, solar radiation management blocking the sun. That's what brought me into this issue, for those that don't know. My off-grid home that was the cover article of Home Power Magazine, the world's largest renewable energy magazine, was losing tremendous amounts of solar power uptake from whatever these aircraft were leaving behind that clearly could not be condensation. That's what brought me into this entire battle some 15 plus years ago. So the human race continues to shoot itself in the head, with climate engineering being the worst offender of all. From this report, MIT researchers say climate change could, and again, could, may, might, this is the total betrayal of academia to use these types of words, could reduce the yield of solar modules. Again, like stating, if you leap off a 100-story building and face plant on the sidewalk, you could get hurt. That's about the equivalent to what this statement says, and so often from academia, because nobody wants to show the backbone to tell it like it is. Report continues. Sorry if I seem angry. It's only because I am. When you're swimming in a sea of insanity and so many in the so-called field of experts not willing to tell the whole truth, it becomes frustrating after so many years and watching the planet literally die around you. Report continues. Analysis based on the warming scenarios outlined by IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, is what that acronym means, predicts in some areas the annual energy output of PV photovoltaic solar panels systems may fall by up to 50 kilowatt hours per kilowatt installed. Now, look, the bottom line is, it's a great reduction on solar panels, not just the blocking of the sun, but the incredible heat that's now hitting those panels. It's what I talked about, car deaths as well, why it's catching so many people off guard, because the collapsing ozone layer, and it is collapsing, by the way, and on the current rate of collapse, if we had no other challenges, the ozone layer collapse alone may kill us all in less than a decade. That's how severe that situation is. But back to the solar panels, again, like the radiant heat that's building up in cars, catching people off guard because the ambient temperatures are not necessarily so high, but the radiant heat is immense. Collapsing ozone layer. It's not your imagination if the sun feels hot on your skin. It is. The report continues, a study by scientists at Massachusetts Institute of Technology has considered the potential negative effect of rising global temperatures on solar panels. It's not a potential negative effect, it's an absolutely indisputable negative effect. Tell it like it is, those in academia. Show some backbone while you can. About solar panels, there is this new report to consider also. Walmart sues Tesla over solar panel fires at 7 stores. Didn't hear too much about that on mainstream media, did we? In addition to excess heat, especially, as I said, radiant heat being made, as I said, stated exponentially worse by extreme UV, what else is harming the potential of solar power? Atmospheric particulates, as I stated, from numerous sources. This new headline report, Amazon rainforest fire burning at record rate as smoke blocks out sun. From that report, Brazil's Amazon rainforest has seen a record number of fires this year, with the country's space agency reporting an 83% increase over the same period last year. The National Institute for Space Research, the INPE, listen to this carefully, said its satellites have detected 72,843 forest fires in the country. Almost 73,000 fires. What does it take? These forests are not coming back. I don't know how to drive that point home, especially in the Amazon. The soils are very poor there. Once the forest is gone, it doesn't come back. And that's happening here in the northern latitudes as well. And again, I'm going to keep repeating this point. The unprecedented global wildfires and climate engineering are completely connected. Please investigate, research the engineering wildfire section at the top of the toolbar on the geoengineeringwatch.org homepage. The rest of the record wildfire equation in the Amazon is this: the loot, plunder, and pillage being carried out by the president of Brazil, Bolsonaro. His policies are facilitating the unrestrained raping of what is yet left of the Amazon. And for the record, also, the atmospheric saturation of sun-blocking particles is not just a result of record global wildfires. Aside from the sources of ignition for the fires, what has caused the Amazon to dry out so horrifically? Many are unknowingly towing the line on the official lie that, quote, dust from Africa is the primary source of atmospheric particulates in regions of the Atlantic, particulates that are responsible, we are told, for the suppression of Atlantic hurricanes and the disruption of rainfall over South America, especially the Amazon rainforest, which is, again, is burning to the ground at record rates. What primary source of atmospheric particulates are we not being told about? What major source of atmospheric particulates are being systematically hidden from public view? Climate engineering, which is responsible for the dispersion of tens of millions of tons of nanoparticulates that are being sprayed into our atmosphere as part of the, quote, solar radiation management operations. These particulates, like aluminum and barium, are not only highly toxic to all life, they are also a form of incendiary dust or flammable dust that coats the foliage and surfaces, thus further fueling the ferocity of wildfires. Continuing with this dire theme, consider this new headline report from multiple sources. Quote, Amazon fires, Bolsonaro actively trying to devastate rainforest, leaked documents show. Listen to this. Bolsonaro hopes to sabotage conservation efforts in the Amazon, leaked documents have revealed. The Brazilian government intends to, quote, fight off international pressure to protect the world's largest rainforest. The plans leaked to a political website, Open Democracy, emerged as devastating fires raged through the Amazon. Brazilian policies of plunder and pillage are, for the record, parallel to U.S. policies. On that note, from 7dnews.com and other sources, quote, here's the headline title, by the way, Brazilian bromance, Trump and Bolsonaro all smiles at G20. The report states this, is it a Brazilian-U.S. bromance? Question mark. According to American Free Press, U.S. President Donald Trump's meeting with Brazilian leader Bolsonaro suggests it might be. Bolsonaro often gets compared to the U.S. leader and has even been nicknamed the, quote, Trump of the tropics. Report finishes with this. Bolsonaro, considered a climate change skeptic, is considered in many ways also to be on the same page as the president and his administration. I am simply trying to report the facts and hoping that those facts are investigated. Moving on, what did the entertainment industry have to say about the Amazon? quote from Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio says, eliminate beef to save the Amazon. Really, Mr. DiCaprio, is it that simple? Yes, corporate agriculture is a big part of the problem, but what is a much bigger part of the problem that Leonardo will never mention? The global climate engineering assault. And to clarify for the record, I am in no way denying that big agriculture is cutting down the Amazon. No question. That's absolutely real and ongoing and hugely problematic. But I'm also stating there's a much bigger factor that is laying the template for areas like the Amazon to burn to the ground, which is being facilitated by people like Bolsonaro and by the U.S. government as well. And that issue is, again, climate engineering. The single greatest causal factor directly related to the epic incinerations occurring around the globe. Wildfires continue to torture its remaining habitat in too many regions to cover. Here's a recent report example from the UK Telegraph to consider. Quote, hundreds of firefighters battle wildfires in Greece, again, as smoke blankets Athens. The global incineration will continue to worsen rapidly along with ever-increasing anthropogenic damage to the biosphere on countless fronts. Climate engineering again at the top of the list. 2 days ago, on Thursday, the, quote, mountain fire erupted in Shasta County, California. It was all too visible looking out from my backyard. GeoengineeringWatch.org posted a video of the fire yesterday. As I had just covered in my two previous broadcasts, the climate engineering operations are absolutely a core part of the equation that is creating the conditions which are facilitating the rapidly increasing and intense blazes. This is not to speak to the source of the ignition, that is another matter, but the volatile conditions with dried out foliage, extreme UV, lack of atmospheric humidity, intense winds, those conditions are directly related to climate engineering. So the source of ignition, again, secondary issue. Search the engineering wildfire section on the top toolbar of geoengineeringwatch.org again to learn more. Now, about the mountain fire, which again just occurred near my home in Shasta County, California. CAL FIRE and other agencies deserve great credit for hitting that fire hard with all available resources. And by doing so, they were able to knock down this fire in spite of very difficult conditions. I want to express my deepest gratitude to CAL FIRE and the other agencies that did such an exceptional job of dealing with this latest wildfire, again, under very difficult conditions. I witnessed the CAL FIRE efforts firsthand from a ridge directly overlooking the front line of the fire, which I trekked to as soon as the smoke from the fire became visible from my backyard. Again, my deepest gratitude to CAL FIRE and other agencies for doing such a stunningly effective job on the mountain fire of putting it down. In regard to what is coming for the U.S. West, more incinerations are likely as the scheduled weather for the U.S. West is for it to continue baking under a climate-engineered dome of high pressure, while the weather makers continue to direct moisture into many other parts of the continent of the country, moisture that will be seeded with chemical ice nucleation elements, which will in turn create temporary and toxic cool-down zones, along with the types of headlines the climate engineers want, like this, from U.S. News and other sources, quote, it snowed in Canada this weekend, and it was not in the Arctic. That's the kind of headlines that confuse and divide populations as to the true state of the climate. That's part of the headlines climate engineers want to make. While the planet's in meltdown, while fires rage in Alaska, Siberia, so many other parts of the world, Northern California, it's snowing in parts of Canada. And that is a direct result of chemical ice nucleation. Please search the engineering winter section at geoengineeringwatch.org to learn more. Please do not believe me. Please investigate. This next catastrophic headline, also directly related to climate engineering and chemical ice nucleation, was even covered by Fox News. Here's the headline from Fox. Quote, thousands of birds killed during hailstorm at Montana Wildlife Preserve. From that report, more than 11,000 waterfowl and wetland birds were killed after, quote, baseball-sized hail fell on the Montana Wildlife Management Area last weekend, state officials said. Ducks and shorebirds with broken wings, smashed skulls, and other signs of internal bleeding were found on the shores of Big Lake Wildlife Management Area in Moult, Montana, authorities said. This is so tragic, and this is absolutely positively a result of seeding cloud moisture with chemical ice nucleating elements, slaughtering everything on the ground. The climate engineers do not care about the damage they do. Did those who detonated 2,000 nuclear weapons around the globe care about the damage they were doing? No, they don't care. This is what the population needs to understand, needs to wake up to, because I hear this so often, quote, they would never do this to themselves. Please understand, they, those in power, ultimately the central bankers and those who control the central bankers, those who control the money, have done so much already to prove that they do not care about the consequences of their actions. And we know from clinical analyzation of various forms of psychopathic behavior that a blind spot in these individuals is a, quote, near lack of comprehension as to the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. Obviously, the planet dies, they will die with it. But those in power don't care, and you build this massive machine, this military-industrial complex that's a headless, heartless, soulless beast like a cancer killing its host. Does a cancer intend to kill its host? No. Cancer intends to proliferate at any cost. The host eventually dies, and that is what is happening with the planet. I saw a completely heart-wrenching picture in the Siberian Times, bears waiting by a river for salmon to arrive, but there were none. And those bears will likely starve, as so many other bears are starving. And yet we have, on our TV, football games, the latest beer, the latest car, and certainly the theater of political absurdity that has so many people caught up in it. Please disconnect from that. Whatever side of the fence you're on, please disconnect from all the lies and all the paid actors in the political theater and look at the bigger picture. Please look at the bigger picture. On that note, from theweathernetwork.com, how will jet streams shape our weather in a warmer future? Question mark. We haven't studied the jet stream long enough to fully understand how climate change may be affecting its usual pattern. This would be a more accurate statement from the Weather Network paid liars. Quote, we are paid to cover the tracks of the climate engineering assault. We are paid to ram our heads as far as possible into the sand. We're paid to read the scripts given to us by the military-industrial complex. That would be more accurate for them to state. For the record, as I have stated so many times, the vast majority of academia, the so-called science community, has and is completely betraying the human race and indeed the entire web of life on countless fronts. And soon, very soon, this fact will be impossible to hide. How many in academia will then be exposed for what they are? Paid liars for a criminally insane power structure. Engineered drought. Again, the scheduled weather indicates California will again be targeted with protracted heat, drought, and very conducive conditions for epic wildfires. And not just California, but much of the West. And the latest NOAA scheduled weather predictions are for a bullseye of excessive record heat over the U.S. West, with another bullseye of potential record cold over other parts of the continental U.S. And this is after record-setting heat months, June, all-time record warm month on the planet, broken by July, all-time record warm month on the planet. And yet there are parts of the most populated regions of the country with by far the biggest military in the world that are magically cooler than the rest of the world. That's not nature. Please research the climate engineering issue. Moving on to the far north. It has been said, if we lose the Arctic, we lose the world. Arctic ice extent melt graphs are now also magically leveling off in spite of record-shattering Arctic heat and record warm oceans, including the Arctic Ocean. How exactly is this possible? The climate engineers are, it seems, willing to kill the entire planet and every life form on it in the attempt to mask the severity of abrupt climate collapse from the population until the last possible moment, in order to keep business as usual until the last possible moment, in order to preserve their stranglehold on power until the last possible moment. Why is the Arctic so important? Because that albedo, that reflectivity of the ice, has been the Earth's air conditioner. Once that is gone, the sun's rays are absorbed into the dark ocean instead of being reflected on the ice. The climate engineers, in the attempt to mask what's happening, have actually further fueled the problem overall. Much like a pharmaceutical cure for the human body, when we hear a new pharmaceutical to treat a certain symptom, and by the way, here's the side effects that are so horrific you can't imagine who would take that product, but yet people do. Same mentality exactly. So as that Arctic Ocean warms and the frozen methane deposits on the seafloor below that ocean thaw and release, migrate to the water column, to the sea surface and then into the atmosphere. That methane is covering the planet like a layer of glass. That methane, if it's fully released, will turn this planet into something that resembles Venus in the geologic blink of an eye. And that is unfolding right now in the current course. Frontline data absolutely confirms this. Pressing on from truthout.org. Living in two worlds, capitalism pretends all is well while the world is burning. From that report, global capitalism demands we pretend all is well while climate and political realities already reveal the end game we are living in. The U.S. government, along with many others in the Western world, has lurched into overt authoritarianism while climate chaos accelerates at a breakneck pace. The Truthout article then asks this, how do we live in both worlds? Here's an answer, we won't be for much longer on the current course. And as far as, quote, Truthout goes, I hope that they tell the whole truth at some point, starting with climate engineering. Complete hypocrisy from so many sites, sources, and individuals who claim to be completely committed to saving the environment, yet they refuse to address the most critical issue of all, climate engineering, aka weather warfare, aka biological warfare, because apparently they're afraid of losing their positions in various organizations or being marginalized or being targeted by mainstream sources and agencies. We have to get over that. We have to stand and tell the whole truth no matter who tries to marginalize that truth because of their vested interests. What does oligarch Elon Musk suggest humanity do, given the ever darker horizon? Very parallel to the impossible and often completely insane techno-fix suggestions coming from the so-called academic community, which I've highlighted in this program over and over, completely preposterous sci-fi, quote-unquote, techno-fixes for our dying planet, Musk suggests this about Mars, quote, it is a fixer-upper of a planet, Musk told U.S. TV host Stephen Colbert. Musk then stated this, quote, eventually you can transform Mars into an Earth-like planet. You'd warm it up, end quote. How did Musk suggest we warm up Mars? By detonating nuclear bombs on the red planet. What a great idea, Elon. After all, nuclear everything has already done so much good for Earth. Indeed, we are living in an asylum. And while the insane and delusional techno-fix suggestions keep coming from academia and the global oligarchs, the planet and its life support systems continue to circle the drain in a final death spiral. On that note, a few new food supply headlines to consider. This, where did all the cod go? Fishing crisis in the North Sea. The oceans are dying by the day. Been over that in episode after episode on this broadcast. Another headline from numerous sources. A report shows the president's water plan would hurt California salmon, and the government hid that plan. From that report, federal officials hid a 1,123-page report detailing how one of California's unique salmon runs will be imperiled by the president's water plan. Environmental complete gutting of any protection across the board is exactly what's occurring. The swamp is definitely not being drained, it's being filled. And I'm no fan of any administration. I can't stand to look at Clinton or Obama or Bush or any of the rest. But I'm saying we have to stand back and realize that the White House is just another prop in the play. Whoever's in the White House, just another actor in the play. We need to face what is actually occurring on the ground. And that process will give us some chance of changing course. Another headline, a banana-killing fungus has reached Latin America. Does this spell the end for bananas? Another headline, according to the federal government, 19 million acres of farmland were not planted with crops this year. And believe me, that is going to continue to show up on store shelves with limited supplies and greatly increased costs. And in regard to the decimation being inflicted on parts of the U.S. where the flooding kept those crops from being planted, it goes right back to what I stated earlier in this broadcast. Certain regions of the U.S. are being flooded with moisture that's being chemically nucleated, creating killer hail like I just outlined earlier, which is so heartbreakingly killing not just birds but many other creatures. And this is part of how areas of the U.S. are being kept less warm than the rest of the world. Please research this at geoengineeringwatch.org. Again, engineering winter. Another headline, could the climate crisis spell the end for Maine lobster? Oceans die, everything dies. It's absolutely occurring. And as far as lobsters go, I've personally witnessed this decline since I first started diving in the late 70s. It's profound, the lack of sea life now in so many regions that were even then still abundant. So to clarify for the record, food supply chain issues, already a crisis in many countries, are coming to the U.S. Bet on it. Changing gears for a moment, there's a new report further confirming the fluoride dangers that needs to be heard. The world's premier pediatric journal has published a new government-funded study confirming our worst fears, linking exposure to, quote, optimally fluoridated water during pregnancy lowers IQs of children. From the report, the American Medical Association Journal on Pediatrics, JAMA, has published the second U.S. government-funded study linking low levels of fluoride exposure during fetal development to cognitive impairment. The observational study entitled Association Between Maternal Fluoride Exposure During Pregnancy and IQ Scores in Offspring was led by a team at York University in Ontario, Canada, and looked at 512 mother-child pairs from six major Canadian cities. It was funded by the Canadian government and the U.S. National Institute of Environmental Health. Let's stop, pause, and consider that yet another study, another science study, peer-reviewed science study, proving that fluoridated water is dramatically lowering the IQs of children. What will it take to wake populations up to the fact that we are being lied to on every level, that we have been assaulted on every level by those in power, and that we are, in fact, through the guardrail as a society? Collapse is unfolding now, but if we don't deal with some of these issues, there'll be no one left to save, nothing left to salvage. We must face reality. For the record, over 50 science studies have found a lowering of IQ associated with fluoride exposure, including, again, U.S. government-funded studies. Let's move on to another stunning example of government criminality. From numerous sources, another red flag of confirmation that corporate profits matter far more than disclosing proven dangers to the public. Here's the headline, quote, EPA won't approve warning labels for Roundup chemical. From that report, the Trump administration says it won't approve warning labels for products that contain glyphosate. This was a move aimed at California, as California fights one of the world's largest agriculture companies about the cancer-causing chemical glyphosate. The administration's EPA said this, quote, the EPA knows the product does not pose a cancer risk, end quote. Question, how do we know this is so? Because the administration's EPA appointee, Andrew Wheeler, says it's so, and nothing more. In spite of science study that states definitively glyphosate is causing cancer, we face an administration EPA that says otherwise, and therefore overturning an attempt by California to put a warning label on this toxic chemical that's sitting on every store shelf and every hardware store in the country, as if nothing's wrong. From the UK Guardian and other sources, this recent report that further highlights the total toxification of our planet and more specifically our food. Here's the report headline, quote, America's agriculture is 48 times more toxic than 25 years ago. Blame neonics. A new study shows that the class of insecticides called neonicotinoids poses significant threats to insects, soil, and water. These chemicals, known as neonics, can and do remain in soils, plants, and waterways for months to years, killing insects long after they're applied and creating a compounding toxic burden. So, in summary, not only are we, all of us, being exposed to toxic air, food, and water from the nearly 150,000 various chemical compounds that have been introduced to the environment by the human race, our all-out assault against nature and against insects is an assault against ourselves. No insects, no people. A very simple equation. In regard to the total toxification of the biosphere, no source, again, is mathematically greater than the climate engineering assault and the highly toxic fallout from it. Consider this new report headline from UPI.com, quote, mental health disorders may rise with air pollution, study suggests. There is no could, there is no may, there is no might. We've been over this, I've covered this in another broadcast. Climate engineering is the single greatest source of the most lethal atmospheric aerosols, not the only source. I'm not denying pollution, not denying other sources of particulate matter, but the single most prolific source of the most toxic particulates, because of their incredibly small size, manufactured particles in the 20 to 50 nanometer range and of highly toxic elements like aluminum, barium, strontium, and so forth related to climate engineering. And these elements known to conclusively cause mental health disorders, neurological diseases. There's no could, there's no may, there's no might, and we are sucking it all in with every breath we take, and it doesn't matter if people believe that or they don't believe it. The science data is clear. When you look up, when you see aircraft that are spewing emissions that at certain times can cover the entire climate, or at other times you have silvery white skies when they're less visible, but those particulates are there. Go outside on a very, very still, dark night after such spraying operations have occurred. Shine a very bright light, the brightest you can find, up at the sky, and you will be shocked. It looks like it's snowing. There's so much particulate matter coming down, and we are breathing all of it. Moving on, from multiple sources, the engineered drying of many regions of the U.S. continues. First ever mandatory water cutbacks will kick in next year along the Colorado River. Arizona, Nevada, and Mexico will be required to take less water from the Colorado River for the first time next year. Geoengineering again, single greatest drought-causing factor on the planet. Search the engineered drought section at geoengineeringwatch.org. Learn more. And again, the droughts relate directly to the fires and the setting of the template that facilitates these fires. We have fires burning everywhere from the Canary Islands to Hawaii to Alaska, Siberia, even Greenland, while it's snowing in parts of Canada and BC. So this is a result of climate engineering and the weather whiplash scenarios it creates. And that can be searched also on geoengineeringwatch.org. Search geoengineeringwatch.org, weather whiplash. You'll find article posts on that subject. Moving on, about Greenland. This headline, Earth's future is being written in fast melting Greenland ice. This is where Earth's refrigerator door is left open, where glaciers dwindle and seas begin to rise. More from the report, summer this year is hitting Greenland hard with record-shattering heat and extreme melt. By the end of the summer, about 400 billion metric tons of ice, perhaps more, will have melted and calved off Greenland's giant ice sheet. For the record, for those who don't know, as the entire Greenland ice sheet melts, that's from 21 to 24 feet of sea level rise. But further, as the weight of that ice is lifted off the island, that island begins to rebound out of the ocean because of the weight being lifted, and that's called glacial rebound, and that displaces even more seawater, causing even more ocean rise. Dominoes. Picture dominoes falling. You have a small domino that falls and hits a bigger domino, which hits a bigger domino, and so on, until huge dominoes are falling. That's what we face. Feedback loops that are triggering ever bigger dominoes to fall. Another headline, climate change forces Chile's ski stations to make fake snow. From that report, once deep in powder this time of year, Chile's ski stations are fighting the ravages of climate change and pollution that have brought less and less snow to the central Andes. That's happening everywhere except for those areas that have been the benefactor of the toxic chemically nucleated snow. Another headline, the reason Antarctica is melting, shifting winds driven by global warming, says Scientific American. From the report, this statement, a new study helps solve the puzzle of why the continent's western glaciers are melting so fast. What is Scientific American, again, like all other official agencies and corporate publications, not telling us about climate engineering? What is climate engineering doing? It's altering upper-level wind currents. That's in turn altering ocean currents. That's in turn pushing warm waters into places it should not be, like the Arctic and Antarctica. Once you alter the system, once you interfere with the system, you throw everything off. Something the human race doesn't seem to consider, not with the human body or not with the planet as a whole. Again, the systematic hiding of the climate engineering elephant in the room by all major publications and official agencies. From the science section on a website called stuff.co.New Zealand, exceptionally rare warming above Antarctica may be affecting New Zealand's weather. This is like the polar vortex, only in the southern hemisphere. Ionosphere heaters are being used to push cold air from the polar regions into populated areas to create headlines of cold on an ever-warming world. Confusing and dividing the population as to the true state of the climate by pushing what cold air is left around in order to, again, create these weather whiplash phenomenons, chemically ice nucleating whatever moisture they can with it to further cool things down. Ionosphere heaters cause an electrical chain reaction in the ionosphere by beaming incredibly powerful microwave transmissions into the ionosphere. That creates a high-pressure heat dome, which spins clockwise in the northern hemisphere, counterclockwise in the southern hemisphere, and that can push upper-level wind currents around, disrupting the entire system, and that's exactly what's going on. From EcoWatch.com, We should be retreating already from the coastline, scientists suggest after finding warm waters below Greenland. All connected, everything I've stated. Meltdown occurring everywhere, oceans warming so incredibly fast. And by the way, again, as I've stated many times, for those that don't understand where the planet's heat has gone to this point, a cubic meter of seawater contains 4,000 times the thermal energy of a cubic meter of air. The oceans have thus far absorbed the vast majority of heat the human race has produced, climate engineering making all of it worse, not better. The planet has been warming statistically, mathematically, at the rate the thermal energy equivalent, again, of 4 to 5 Hiroshima bombs per second, 400,000 per day. Astounding pace of warming that has been absorbed by the oceans, but that cannot continue any longer. The oceans are dying by the day. The melting around the globe is further feeding that process as these dominoes fall, as I outlined earlier in this broadcast. Coastlines are going to be transformed all over the globe very soon. I want to cover a couple more critical headlines before I run out of time. Listen carefully to this one from AdvancesScienceMag.org and numerous other sources. Link between increased atmospheric vapor deficit and worldwide loss of vegetation. Remember that term, atmospheric vapor deficit, called VPD. And this is directly related to the decreasing water vapor in the atmosphere that is a direct result of climate engineering, thwarting these evaporative cycle and putting desiccant moisture-absorbing particles into the atmosphere. This causes plants, foliage, trees, to shut their stomata, their respiratory ports. I've spoken about this in numerous broadcasts and presentations. They shut their respiratory ports. They're not absorbing carbon. They're not exhaling oxygen. They're sitting there dormant and dying. And this is, again, one more factor, yet one more, that's directly related to climate engineering. I encourage all to research this article, read it in its entirety, try to understand, again, the complexity of systems that are being so radically derailed and disrupted by the climate engineering assault. And not just climate engineering, all other forms of human activity as well, but the intentional climate modification operations literally wreaking havoc with all of Earth's life support systems, slowly killing the forest in countless ways, from the atmospheric vapor deficit factor to the destruction of the ozone layer, frying foliage, to the disruption of the hydrological cycle, to the toxification of the rain that's affecting the soils. So many factors directly related to climate engineering. Why are we hearing about this from more quote-unquote experts and sources? Again, because of the draconian consequences for anyone who dares speak out. We have a federal gag order right now on all National Weather Service and no employees. Why would our government gag the weathermen if they didn't have something extraordinarily huge to hide? And this from InsideClimateNews.org and other sources. Top CDC, Centers for Disease Control, Health and Climate Scientists, files whistleblower complaint. Scientists working on climate change who say they have been silenced, sidelined, or demoted under this administration. It's not just this administration as well. It's much worse now. But this administration is a puppet like the rest. It's just simply getting worse because the planet's imploding. But it's worse now than ever. There's no question. So the whistleblowers are being completely demonized by our government as elements of our government attempt desperately to hide the severity of biosphere collapse from the population to the last possible moment. From the report, one of the federal government's leading experts on health impacts of climate change sought whistleblower protection because of retaliation he said he has faced for speaking out against this administration. Food for thought. What happens as biosphere collapse accelerates and sea levels rise? The fight for high ground will begin. From strategicculture.org and numerous other sources, this, Kashmir, the fight for the high ground has started. From the report, India's unilateral takeover of the autonomous status of Kashmir, previously guaranteed by the Indian Constitution, is but a first step toward nations around the world taking steps to seize higher altitude land as global warming and sea level rise increasingly cascade in intensity. Warming oceans, melting permafrost and glaciers and ice sheets are rapidly affecting sea levels, especially during high tides. Just the beginning. I can't go further in that report because I'm running out of time. There's more I want to cover. Listen carefully to these next two headlines from Scientific American. First, quote, scientists have been underestimating the pace of climate change. Been over that again and again. Geoengineeringwatch.org has tried to make that point clear for 10 years. Now being admitted, not because they want to tell the truth, but because they can't hide it anymore. And this headline, also from Scientific American, can Mars be made habitable in our lifetime? These two headlines are yet more confirmation of the criminal deception that continues to be propagated by the so-called science community. Again, as I stated, for 10 years, Geoengineering Watch has emphatically stated on the record that the unfolding climate collapse was and is far worse than we have been told. We are all living in an increasingly toxic asylum, an asylum which is literally burning down around us, an asylum in which every breath we take is toxic, the effects of which are manifesting in populations at epidemic levels. Yet, orchestrated election idiocy, iPhones, new cars, televised sports, and cold beer are the themes of the day. Where is there any semblance of sanity, of concern for the children that we claim to love, of nature on which all of our lives completely depend? I believe I once shared this occurrence in my past. Forgive me if I'm doing it again, but I grew up in the Inland Empire of Southern California, upland, at the base of the San Gabriel Mountains. On the valley floor, it was often the smog capital of the country. And I remember a moment when I was 11 years old, standing on a baseball field with the air so dirty, it was like being in a wildfire smoke zone. On that day, on this baseball field, I so clearly remember looking at all the adults in the bleachers. I looked at the coaches in both dugouts. None seemed the least bit concerned, none. I felt profoundly alarmed. Smog this thick made it difficult to breathe. By the end of the day, even the healthiest individual had trouble. Yet, even completely immersed in this toxic soup, all the adults around me behaved as if there was nothing wrong. How well I remember that day. Sadly, the vast majority remain unwilling to even face the truth, let alone to tell it, to share it with others that don't want to hear. As we collectively face our fate, an unimaginably dark horizon that is not off in the distance somewhere, but is in fact looming directly before us, many will ask, how did this happen? And who is responsible? Though many or most will try to convince themselves that all the blame lies with one or another political faction. Is this really the truth? Does the criminally insane and incurably corrupt power structure bear all the blame for the mathematically certain near-term extinction of the human race and possibly all life on Earth if we remain on the current course? There is more than enough blame to go around. Those in power could never have done what they have done without the active or passive support of the majority of the population. Our silence is our consent. We have seen the enemy, and he is us, as I have stated so many times. Our war against nature is a war against ourselves. Martin Luther King said this, "In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends." One of my earliest memories from around the age of 4 is of a mentally challenged busboy in a restaurant that dropped a stack of dishes. The adults around me laughed. The busboy looked crushed. I felt a profound sense of cruelty, of bewilderment at the response of the adults around me. Question, what will the response of the adults be as the planet continues to die? Now, on the few occasions that I have to take a walk in the dying forest that surrounds my family's mountaintop home, I ponder the miraculous spectacles of nature I have seen, sights that my children will never witness. Many solitary dives in distant seas, sometimes surrounded by thousands of schooling and circling fish on the Barrier Reef of Australia, face to face with groupers weighing hundreds of pounds in the Sea of Cortez, sharks and sea turtles on the reefs of Fiji, blue penguins darting back and forth off the shores of New Zealand, swimming alone for hours with hundreds of sea lions at the Channel Islands. What will be left that I can show my children? Consider this ancient quote from Greek historian Polybius. He said this, "There is no witness so dreadful, no accuser so terrible as the conscience that dwells in the heart of every man." I cannot, I will not turn away from the battle to expose dire truths that must be faced. If my children, any children, are to have any chance of having any future, my conscience will not allow that. No matter how much battle fatigue I sometimes feel, I know and never allow myself to forget that I owe everything to the whole, that I must press on in the battle to sound the alarm no matter what. If we all stand together, our collective efforts can yet make a difference. Waking the masses to what is unfolding, reaching a critical mass of awareness is the first and most critical leap forward. See the activist suggestion link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn how you can help. Share credible data from a credible source. Make your voice heard. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.